Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, coming at you with another one of our Life West leadership lines. I'm joined by my co-host, my co-everything in life, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
We're separate. We're in different areas right now. And we've got a great guest with us, someone that's very close to both of mine and Mary's heart. You know, someone who I kind of feel could have been one of our sons along the way. Mary, I don't think you disagree on that. And you'd probably love to have this as a son. I don't know. He probably would have ate us out of house and home. But we have Dr. Max Kelly coming at us from Spokane, Washington. Welcome to the show, Max.
Thanks. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I know we've talked about putting this together for a long time, so I'm glad that we were able to actually pull the trigger.
I know you. I don't know, man. I'm going to call it the when people talk about the millennials, I'm going to say they're just elusive. You know, it's like you just can't. They're so busy doing stuff and they're so successful in what they're doing. Let me tell our viewers a little bit about you, Max. Max graduated. Dr. Max graduated in 2020 from Life West. He was just a rock here at the college. He was here during my presidency. He was heavy in leadership, president of the student council, took amazing roles, was in the Delts. Just anything where there was chiropractic philosophy and leadership, you can find Max there. And just listen to his past. I mean, he went, you know, grew up in Spokane. He's a Cairo kid, went to University of Montana, go Grizz, right? You know, played football for them, believe it or not, offensive lineman. He showed me pictures. I know that he was in his, what was your top weight there?
A little under 320.
Yeah. So, you know, just big boy, 6'5", 6'6", I'm not sure, you know, something like that. And just phenomenal. And while he was in school, and this is really amazing, he started a company with a partner with Jason, Dr. Jason now, and they started a company called Chirolux, where they have portable tables and all kinds of other adjusting tools like extremity adjusting, portable drop pieces, things like that. We might get into that a little bit later. But went back to Spokane after he graduated and, you know, as a Cairo kid, went into his parents' practice, ended up purchasing it. And him and Jason are now partners in the practice, partners in Chirolux. I mean, just doing amazing stuff, have four chiropractors in their office and just doing great things. I am thrilled to dive in and open up that little brain of yours, bro, and kind of see what's been happening up there. Also, probably the most important thing of all is that he's engaged. His fiance, Margaret Miller, is we just got to spend time with her just a little while ago. Just a wonderful, just you could just feel her spirit. We're very excited about that, Max, because, you know, it's what life's about, right? You know, keep propagating the species with good people. That's our goal. Well-adjusted people.
Make more chiropractors.
Make more chiropractors. Exactly it. That'll be on my deathbed. Is there anything? Just tell them to make more chiropractors. You know? I love it. Let's jump in. Mary, you want to start? Want me to start? Tell me.
Go for it.
All right, good. So, Max, talk. Listen, we know you're a chiro kid. You're raised with chiropractic, you know, kind of stuff. But you know, what was the journey like? You know, like you left school and you went to Spokane, right? And that's your hometown, I believe. That's where you're from.
Back home.
Yep. Went back home, you know, you know, what was it like? You know, I think I visited you when I was doing a dinner. You were there and in Spokane. I came by the office, beautiful office, you know, but what was it like kind of transitioning in like that?
Coming back like out of school, you're right out of school. So you think, you know, everything, you got the whole world figured out. And, there was a fair amount of learning experiences. The first one was you got to learn how to work with your parents, because I went back to my parents' clinic. So your head's busting with ideas. You think you got it all figured out. And I felt very prepared coming out of Life West, except for this kind of one category that was kind of foreign to me and that none of my friends talked about, which was this world of billing and insurance and VA hospital referrals. And so I had to learn very quickly how to speak the language of insurance. Because up until then I was very basic and I understood cash billing and MBAs, but there was a kind of a more complex kind of realm that I had to go to. So other than that, it was hit the ground running. Luckily, I did preceptorships, one in California, and then I did another second one back in Spokane with my parents. So that was a great transition as far as getting running goes.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you how you did that, because I know when you first get in the office, like you want to adjust, but there's mm-hmm. all this other stuff to learn, right?
Yeah.
So you got in there and then, so you just started learning all the systems, right? And then I think you spoke about this already and there was a lot of things that you saw that you were like, things were outdated.
Yeah.
So what was that like as far as?
Yeah, the great question. To speak of systems, quite frankly, there wasn't a whole lot. It was show up, a doctor would look at you, you know, they would adjust you and then they'd say, adios, come back. And there was no recommended care plans. There was x-rays, but it was infrequent. So we transitioned to digital x-rays mm-hmm. and it's a family practice. So, you know, we see newborns, pregnancy, you know, the whole gamut. But it was very like antiquated. There was no like the follow-ups in regards to like patient care were a little bit lacking. But other than that, so that's really what we've been working on is for the past 2 years, basically, hey, how do we bring this 35-year-old chiropractic practice like up to speed quickly?
Yeah, and I think our viewers need to understand something, because you know, first of all, there was a system. I think there was a system. It was called the KISS system, right? Keep it simple, right? Kind of, you know. And yet, you know, the same thing happened to Mary and I. You know, when Lauren first came back, our oldest daughter was the first one to graduate. Brought her fiance back with her, or maybe they were going to become engaged at that point. And they walked around the office and said, Dad, you got to take that poster down. I go, what's wrong with that poster? It was one of the subluxation kills, you know, that kind of thing. I go, what's wrong with that poster? And my daughter just said, not there's anything wrong with it. When did you get it? I said, 1981. She goes, enough said. Like, you know, let's refresh this place kind of thing. And remember what we said? We said, listen, we're up to doing anything, but just take it easy on us, you know, because yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's our home. And the cool thing was, is that we didn't see what we, you know, what was there, because we were just so used to it. You know, we'd walk around and everything looked normal to us. And not that it wasn't abnormal, but it just was like that. And I'm sure your folks were just the same way, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I remember you speaking about that and you said, you know, two parts. You said the first one is kids, or, you know, young chiropractors go easy on parents and the older chiropractors, and on the vice versa, you know, parents and older chiropractors go easy on the young generation, because the young ones are just want to go, 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 go. And the old ones are going to be like, hey, this is just a little bit too fast. So luckily my parents were kind of to the point where they're just like, okay, you know, they had a new grandson with my brother. So they're like ready to go down the grandson route and mm-hmm. really step back from being like the primary caretaker of the clinic.
Yeah. Yeah. So what'd you do? What were some of the, you know, you said you put digital x-ray in and yada, yada, but did you change the messaging? Did you change, like, what were some of the things that you felt were important? Because you got a great practice going right now. And I believe that success, you know, it comes from your stance and where you are in chiropractic and your, you know, the firm stance that you have, but also the systems that you have that allow you to do that, right? And allow you to portray that.
Yeah. So as soon as I showed up, new website, new EHR, which we just transitioned to this past year. We needed something quicker, better organized. And then when I also showed up, we had paper files. We had an entire room full of these paper files. And the only thing that was in this paper file was simply a temperature, because everything else was going digital. So each new patient would have this paper file with just like their initial temperature and then their like height and weight. And we were storing all these files. And then after that, then they'd go to a separate storage unit offsite. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. So we got rid of all those, had to scan each one of those individually. And then another thing, I don't know who I was talking with this about, but it was one of the older, I'll just say older chiropractors. They were talking about artwork in your practice, how every piece of artwork has to have a message and a reason. And the majority of this artwork in this in our clinic was just put up by an interior designer, you know, just like meaningless shapes and squares. And so the care has never changed. The care at our clinic has always been phenomenal. Best in the Northwest, like best in Spokane. But there were these gaps, you know, if you're walking down this hallway and if you're waiting out front, you're just sitting there staring at this gray wall, rather you could be like self-teaching and educating yourself while you're doing so. So that's one of the emphasis points that we've really focused on.
That's great. Yeah. And we did that, Ron, in our practice in San Diego. Well, before I got to the practice, you and Gary hired an interior designer. So there was really pretty pictures in the reception area until we realized like we wanted the walls to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And while people were sitting there, they, like you said, they didn't need to be looking at pretty pictures. They were reading stuff. And then we probably went overboard. That's when our kids came in. They're like, okay, you're shoving it down their throats. Like there's too much of it and it's everywhere. So that's really cool. So people want to hear the good stuff plus the challenges. What were some of the other challenges? Like getting in there, and it sounds like you got new EHR and you just kind of really revamped it. Was like, were there any other challenges where, like, what I loved was, it was like your parents were kind of in that sweet spot where they were ready to leave. Like we weren't at that time. So they really did like kind of hand you over the reins and say, like, go for it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you also had to create it too.
Yeah. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So a lot of my colleagues coming out of school, the majority of them are starting their own practices. I kind of fall into this small category of merging in and then eventually purchasing an established practice. So Peter Thiel, one of the co-founders of PayPal with Elon Musk, talks about, he had this very popular book about 5 years ago called Zero to One, basically like how to create a startup. And that's kind of where a lot of my colleagues are at. I fall into this category of one to N, basically like how to go from the next level, how to continue to grow your practice. So with that said, like a lot of this stuff still applies, but it's like, okay, how do we take this very small, or how do we take this very large practice and kind of continue to grow it and expand it? Mm-hmm. So when I first moved up to Spokane, when I first moved to Washington, I did so solo. And my business partner, Dr. Jason Q, went from Life West all the way down to San Diego. And he was working for Dr. Matt Hubbard in a very high volume practice in San Diego. And I was, 1,000 miles away all the way up north. And I remember going into Dr. Ron's office and Dr. Ron said, "Hey, how are you and Jason doing? How's Chirolex doing?" And I said, "Well, he went south and we're continuing to run this business and I'm up in Spokane." And he said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Business partners that you jive with and that you mold with and mesh with are so rare to come by." And he said, "That would be a very silly thing to do, is to not bring him into the mix." So I was struggling to kind of juggle this very large clinic with multiple chiropractors. And I said, "Okay, Jason, like I can't run this practice and see patients because it's too much." And so we actually worked out this deal. My mom, came up with this idea of taking on a partner, and we brought him back up to Spokane, and kind of the rest is history. And a couple of things that he's phenomenal at is his technological background, along with his financing and billing background. And so we figured out very quickly, if we can run Chirolex from other ends of the country, I mean, imagine how lethal we'd be in the same city.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, you guys are really a great team. I mean, just with Chirolux, with what you did here, at the college, and, I know that the college we purchased, those 30 tables that we purchased from Chirolux that are now sitting in Tonga just got used for the first time since 2000 and since February of 2020, right? Because that's when they arrived there, right? And then after that, whatever happened to the world at that time, the end, the beginning of the end, end of the beginning, one or the other. And just watching you guys, I mean, you just seem like you just were very you really knew your roles, and that, and to me, that's what creates a good partnership, when you know what your role is, like one's offense and one's defense, or one's, you know, left and one's right. And you could be both playing the center, but you knew your strengths and you guys fed off your strengths, you know? Are you finding that in practice right now as you guys go together?
Yeah, absolutely. I love working with patients and patient interactions, and he likes to kind of stay more on the back end, especially as January 1st, we purchased this practice from my parents, and we've kind of been working towards that for the last 2 years, but January 1st, it was official. But with that comes a lot of back end challenges as far as structuring deals and making sure accounts get transferred appropriately. And there was a speaker, and I can't remember who it was, at one of the Friday seminars, but they said along the concept of hire your weaknesses. If you're not good at something, you need to be able to acknowledge that and go find help. And I don't like to work with the numbers as much. I don't like to work with the billing department and the collections department. I'd rather be with patients. And, you know, if people want to work by themselves, that's great. But if you want to take on a partner, you need to recognize what you need help with. And in doing so, that, you know, basically grows your team appropriately. Don't hire your mirror image, or don't work with your mirror image, because then there's just going to be two of you and you're going to have twice as many weaknesses.
Right. Same thing in marriage, right?
Yeah.
You marry your mirror image, man. It's just like going to be, you know,
tragic.
So has it been pretty smooth since you purchased the practice, like with you two?
From a partnership standpoint. Yeah. So here's the kicker, is when we were living in chiropractic school, or when we were living in Oakland, we were roommates for 4 years.
I didn't know that.
I lived on one side of the wall and he lived on the other side of the wall. So after we were done with school, we would either go into his room or my room, where we would work till midnight or 1 a.m. on Chirolux. And a lot of our manufacturing is done in China. So, you know, by the time business stops in America, they're just waking up. So we would just pull all-nighters working on Chirolux stuff. So that's kind of like when Dr. Ron was like, hey, if you can find a business partner that you really jive with, you need to not let him go. And I was like, oh my gosh, I lived with this guy for 4 years. And we were able to, like, not just be roommates, not just be classmates, and then go home and eat dinner and continue to work on, you know, an external business. It's like, we need to recognize that. So really running a practice is no easier than working with a full-time roommate, almost like,
yeah,
say, like to like the extent of a spouse. So,
and Jason's married now, right?
Yes. He got married right out of chiropractic school,
right,
to Millie. And she's become really good friends with Margaret, and you know, we're continuously hanging out. So one of the questions that Dr. Mary asked is, I believe, you know, when we started, is how much do you work? And to me, it's around the clock, and but it's not really work. I just love what I do. And one of the things, as you know, I continue to work closer to getting married, Margaret is like, hey, are you done working for the day? Are you And I could just work. I could wake up, do it all, go to bed, wake up, do it all. And it just doesn't exhaust me, because I don't find it as work. I just find it as my passion. So that's kind of one of the things that, as I get married, I need to better be able to recognize, as I'm sure you guys can relate.
Yeah. I mean, that balance is so important. I mean, I think that our difference might've been that, you know, we were both chiropractors. And so, and I'm sure Margaret owns, you know, what you're doing and loves what you do, and, you know, has embraced the chiropractic lifestyle, so to speak. But what we did was we worked opposite shifts. So when I was in the office seeing patients, Mary was at home with the kids or doing whatever it might be, working out, whatever it might be. And when she was in the office, I was at home, or wherever, you know, doing whatever, either with the kids or wherever it might be. So we kind of kept that balance like that. But it was more about, like, even when we go on vacation, our kids would say to us, and they loved chiropractic, they could have been in fifth grade, and they'd say, will you stop? We'd be in a pool in Hawaii, and they go, will you stop talking about the office, or stop talking about, you know, kind of thing. Because, like you said, it becomes part. And we had to take a big look at that. Remember that, Mayor? I think we were in Mexico at the time. I don't know. And we just take a big look and go, okay, we got to stop this. You know, it's like, we just got to, move into a different space when we're gone, you know, to really kind of decompress and move away from it. And yeah, it was great. We never changed our lifestyle, just, you know, the things we were talking about.
We compartmentalized it a little bit better though, of like when we were with the kids, like I would look at Ron in the car and I'd want to say like, hey, let's do the, and I would stop and be like, hey, remind me later. I want to talk to you about something at the office. Mm. Because I think it was the kids taught us like, you know, hey guys, why don't you just like, you know, be our mom and dad right now. Not like those two people that own this business. But so yeah, I want to dive in that a little bit more. How do you, like, are you a real structured person? Do you say like, okay, like when do you work on Chiralux? Is it just like here and there? Are you really like, does your brain work where you can just be like, oh, I'm going to spend 20 minutes? Or do you like set times where you guys, especially you and Jason, talk about Chiralux, talk about the office? Like, how do you juggle this and make it all work?
So yeah, that's a really good question. I make lists, and I write things down. I put things in a scheduler, and then I go down the list and I cancel things out. So luckily we're to the point where we have some really great teams, and, you know, the best organizations are built off of the best teams. There's this, Steve Jobs quote, right before he passed, and they asked him, they said, Steve Jobs, what are you most proud of? Is it the iPhone that you created, or is it the iPad or iPod? Or the Mac, like, what's your favoriteest creation that you made? And he said, no. My product that I'm most proud of is not an individual product, but it's the teams that I put together that then created those teams. So yeah, when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, like how mind blowing is that? So from a stance of time and energy, luckily we've grown Chiralux to a point where we have different teams. We have a marketing team, a customer service team, a manufacturing team. So that really requires me to really only connect with the head of the team rather than all these individuals, and basically kind of like creating a hierarchy or a chain of command. So once I'm done with practice for the day, I'll go home and usually check on Chiralux stuff, talk with some of the kind of like coordinating members. But like for the daytime, I'm like chiropractor full go. You know, when I wake up, it's all about the clinic. It's all about patients. And then when I leave that, it's kind of, you know, so I can jump to something else. But yeah, it's definitely requires a balance.
Yeah.
So Max, when you know, I'm hearing balance big time, and I'm also hearing discipline, you know, because I know that, you know, when I say discipline, I'm, you know, to stay focused and to also not be focused, you know, to go screw off and go hike in the woods and go, you know, shoot turkeys. I don't know, whatever you do up there in the best of the Northwest. I've seen you in Hayden shooting turkeys. But it's like, you know, that's part of the balance too, right? Making sure that you're disciplined to get through your list, making sure you're disciplined to do these things. And do you see that offers you more free time? Meaning that, you know, when you know you check off all this stuff, I'm done. You know, does that give you more to where you don't have to be focusing on that stuff?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Just last weekend, Margaret and my brother went to a meditation meditation retreat in Seattle. And it was put on by a network chiropractor who kind of bounces back between India and Washington. And it was a 3-day meditation, quiet, no talking retreat. And like my intention behind that was to really focus on how to find like a proper balance, because what I don't want to do is bust my butt for 30 years or 20 years and then die because I basically work myself into a stress bubble. And that was one of the things that my mom really like tries to hammer to me still to this day, is like, hey, don't overdo it. You got to like take care of your health. You know, you can't just work. So that's kind of one of the things I continuously work on. And then I also recognize like, hey, it's not really work if it's your passion, like if you love what you do. And then therefore, like, people say you got to have balance, you got to work hard and then do nothing, right? But I'm sure you guys can attest that as long as you're like living in alignment, it's, you don't necessarily need balance because you're already in that balance.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. That's kind of one of the things I'm continuously playing with, is going back is like, hey, you know, am I stressed out? Do I love what I do? Or is it not even stress? Am I just like, you know, is it just a challenge?
Well, and that's a really good point, because I feel like sometimes when people are saying like, make sure you take time for yourself, they are kind of speaking to the people who are stressed at work, so they need to like decompress. But you're right, when Ron and I were in the practice, there was no stress. We loved being in there. It was like we went to play there, right? Not really, but it felt like that. Yeah. But I do look back and think if I were to change one thing, I would have taken more time off in the practice. I was we took vacation, but I just wanted to be in there all the time. And I look back now and it's like, I wish someone would have like grabbed me by the shoulders and said, "Hey, it's okay. Take the week off this week." I had frozen shoulders in both shoulders and no one ever knew in my practice. I never missed a day. And even when Ron was like, "Hey, I noticed you can't lift your arm, like tired of combing your hair for you. You want me to go and adjust for you?" I was like, "No, I got this." I look back at that now and it's like one of my daughters said, "You like, there's no trophy for that." And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, yeah, I probably should have listened to my boss. I probably should have taken the time off, even though it was fun in the office. So your buddy Hayden texts us. He gives us like, you know, updates on how the practice is. And we say the same thing to him. We treat him like our son. And we say, take some time off, go celebrate, take care of yourself, rest.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, Max, you brought up that, you know, wait, you know, going 30 years and then, you know, dying, but a lot of people go 30 years, 35 years and look back and they have nothing to look back on except their practice. Meaning, you know, what were your achievements? It wasn't about their children. It wasn't about other things that they did in their lives. It wasn't about this. It's just, it was just this one track, right, of their practice. And that's really not who we are, you know. I mean, I always like to ask chiropractors, like, you know, so tell me who you are, you know, and they'll go, "Oh, well, I'm a chiropractor and I'm this and I'm that, you know, and da, 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 da." And I could just stop and just say to them, "Beautiful. That's what you are. Like, who are you?" Right. And then they have to stop and think. And it really takes them a little bit to get to that space that you smiled. I got that. You got it. But to get to that space of, you know, well, yeah, this is who I really am. You know, like I'm a spirit, you know, whatever it is, whatever they come up with. And I think we kind of get lost in the outside world. And the other piece around that is, and I think Max, you can attest to this because I know how big a servant heart you have. You know, we served together in India. I've just watched you do what you've done, you know, as servants. We truly just, you know, like you said, like Margaret, we just don't take care of ourselves as well, or we come second, I should say. I don't want to say we don't take care of ourselves, but we come second to the people that we're serving, right? And, you know, that's where that balance, but I want to honor your generation, not just your generation, but because I think that's kind of screwy when you say generational things, but I just want to honor you and you know, and others, you know, like yourself who really know that what's important, you know, and how to take care of that and how to balance that and how to get with your friends and go travel and do the things that you know, that you're doing. So.
And I'm going to add that it's really interesting what Dr. Mary was just talking about, how she just worked all the time and worked very hard because my parents, both chiropractors, fell into that exact same category. Didn't take a whole lot of vacations, maybe one a year, and just worked and worked and worked and worked. And they would always tell me when I was starting practice, like, "You have to be there. You know, you can't like say that chiropractic, like people, you know, need to get checked and adjusted without backing it up. Like you don't have time for vacations," which I kind of get. And then I look at all these other cool practices and we'll shut down for like 2 weeks because Dr. Kinji, who just moved to Austin, Texas out of LA, he has this really cool slogan. He says, "Take a break before you break, you know, don't quit, but take a break before you break." So kind of like long story short is when I was in undergrad, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And this is like right up until, you know, she's practicing her whole life and just working. And she got diagnosed with breast cancer and she's like, "Okay, too much. Like I'm just working my body, like just absolutely to a nub." And she stepped out of the practice, kind of retired, moved to a clinic director position. And she's like, "I'm going to focus on myself now because I didn't for the last 30 years. So really focused on, you know, what was going on with her, did a natural holistic approach and basically just addressed the stress in her body, the work stress largely, cleaned up her diet and never got drugs or chemo. And like to this day is cancer free, but she recognized she just pushed herself like too much. So that is like what I look at when I say I don't want to go 30 years and, you know, look back on my practice and say, "Wow, I could build this great practice, but adios. That's my life. I'm out."
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're reaching that time right now, man.
Yes,
I could talk to you forever. I swear to God. But listen, when we, on our Life by Life Wise, we always ask our guests two questions. And we just want an innate response. Just whatever comes up for you, right? So we're going to ask you our two questions, and they're fun. Mary, you want to ask the first or want me to?
I'll go first.
You always go first. I want to go. I'm teasing. Go.
I love being first. Okay. So with your vast wisdom that you have now, knowing what you know now, I want you to go back and tell us, tell the viewers, what advice you would give to yourself, Max Kelly, just starting first quarter at Life West. What would you tell, what would you say to him today?
Meet as many people and make as many friends as possible. I see a lot of chiropractors who graduate, and for every year they practice, their circle gets smaller and smaller, and they get even more like on an island. And I saw that happen to my parents, where like the only really chiropractors that they knew were themselves and maybe like a couple other ones in town. But I'm a part of Delta Sigma Chi. I have a lot of friends that are chiropractors. I'm just going to Sedona on a big chiropractic get together with Doctors Katie and Hayden, like in a month, and create a big like ink pool that you can dip your pen in, because every year you go, you know, it gets narrower and narrower. So going to things like retreats, or going to the Wave, right, the summer, or going to other like get togethers, like really help expand it, because being solo in practice is not very much fun.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. All right. Second question. Who you are today, all what you gained, everything that's there, just like Dr. Murray asked you. But now you're going to go to Dr. Max Kelly, who just graduated yesterday. What words of wisdom would you give that Dr. Max?
Don't change a thing. There we go. That's
simple.
It.
Things simple.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I wouldn't change a thing. Life's great. I'm very blessed.
I love it.
Wow. Both your answers have been answers I haven't heard yet. A lot of people have very similar answers to those questions. Both of yours were very different.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, Max, thank you. Thanks for sharing. You know, thanks for all you're doing. I know you're helping a lot of people with ChiroLux, and you know, obviously you're taking, you know, I love what you said, the best in the Northwest. I love that. That'll be in my head for quite a while. But you know, thanks for all you're doing for the profession, for younger chiropractors coming up. I know you do a lot in the Spokane area, and man, I am you inspire me, and it's just so cool to I knew you'd go off and do great things, but you know, I don't even think we've even scratched the surface yet. So I'm excited to watch you from afar and be in the stands and kind of see what's happening in your life and, you know, your family's life as you get married and all the things that are going on. So thanks for being you, brother. Really appreciate you. And Mary, thank you, of course, for always, you know, these are great. I love these. I look forward to these. And our guests are just phenomenal, and it's just so cool to hear the wisdom that comes out. You know, you don't have to be in practice 30 years to gain this. You know, it's all in there. You know, it's just being able to have that mature out. And also thanks to our guests, our viewers. Thank you. Thanks for coming back week after week, for joining us. These Life by Life Wests get distributed every other week, the opposite weeks, as a Life West leadership line. Without your viewership, we wouldn't have to do these, or we wouldn't do these. And it's growing tremendously, but it's growing because you guys share these, and you know, you share them with others, and we get messages all the time saying, "Hey, someone just shared this with me, and you know, it's so cool. And how, you know, where do I find more?" and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I just appreciate that, because you know, there's a world out there of people that are you know, suffering needlessly, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, and you know, it really takes connecting people, you know, not only to themselves and their and the greatness that's within them, but also to other people around them. And that's really what we're doing with these Life by Life West. So thank you for joining us, and you know, keep loving those around you and hugging those folks. And Max, again, thank you. We appreciate you so much, brother. You know, and to everybody else, until we come at you again with another Life by Life West. for Dr. Mary, Dr. Max, and myself, we'll say goodbye and just keep telling people that they're more powerful than they were ever led to believe. See you later.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.